KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have cloudy skies, 29 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be cloudy with a chance of light snow mixed at times with light rain today, a high around 34. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, where they'll help you stay on track with your medications. Ask them about no-wait refills and Rex Packs. In Southwest Iowa News, Red Oak Police arrested a woman for operating a vehicle while intoxicated, or OWI, drug-related. 26-year-old Jocelyn Nicole Davies of Red Oak was arrested at around 9:35 p.m. Sunday following a traffic stop in Red Oak. Davies was brought to the Montgomery County Jail and held on a $1,000 bond. Sheriff's deputies from Cass and Montgomery counties assisted Red Oak Police during the incident. Well, a man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for stealing copper wire in western Iowa that was soon tracked to his home in Nebraska. 39-year-old Brian Cave was sentenced Thursday in Council Bluffs after he pleaded guilty to the theft. The judge says the sentence will run the same time as a theft sentence Cave is serving in Nebraska. Court records say some wire was stolen in May from a Union Pacific yard in South Council Bluffs. Police put a GPS tracking unit inside another spool of wire at the yard. It was soon stolen as well. Authorities say the GPS attached to the spool showed its new location at Cave's home in Omaha. Well, the Creston Police Department reports three arrests over the weekend. Friday morning at around 11 a.m., 26-year-old Tina Louise Perrigo of Creston was arrested at the Fairway store for theft in the fifth degree. She was later released on a promise to appear in court. On December 29th at around 2:30 p.m., 44-year-old Corey McKinney of Lorimore was arrested in Creston and charged with driving while barred. McKinney was also cited for fraudulent use of registration and failure to provide proof of financial liability. He was released from the Union County Jail on a $2,000 cash or surety bond. And on Sunday night, around 8:20, 59-year-old Teresa Vivian Vaca of Creston was arrested at the Walmart store there for theft in the fifth degree. Vaca was cited and released at the scene. Well, a reminder that fireworks may be used in Atlantic to celebrate the coming of the new year, but there are restrictions on when they may be used. City code says fireworks are permissible New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m., that would be this evening, and ending on New Year's Day at 12:15 a.m. or just after midnight. Also, no fireworks of any kind shall be discharged within 300 feet of a public school building, assisted living facility, or hospital. The penalties for violating the ordinance include with a $250 fine in addition to established court costs for the first violation. Subsequent violations will result in a fine of $600 plus associated court costs. For other cities in the area, you can contact your local city hall or look online for their posted ordinances as available. If you run out of adult beverages at your New Year's Eve party, there are more outlets than ever in the state to buy more. Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division spokesman Tyler Ackerson said the fiscal year that ended in June showed an increase in the licenses.
We had, you know, almost 17,000 licenses issued throughout the fiscal year, and that's a new high for us. We also saw more than 21,000 people being trained and certified in the responsible selling and serving of alcohol through our online training program.
The increase in new liquor licenses, he says, was caused primarily by convenience stores.
There was a law change in 2011 that allowed them to sell alcoholic liquor products, and so that's where we see the most growth in terms of our operations, is within the convenience store category.
The IABD, or Iowa Alcoholic Beverages Division, suspended the licenses of some 70 retailers in the last fiscal year.
The overwhelming majority of them are for licensees failing to maintain dram shop insurance. Whenever there's a lapse in that insurance coverage, their license has to be suspended. Maintaining dram shop insurance is a requirement to hold the license, and so there's usually a short-term suspension that's in place until they can get that dram shop insurance put back into place.
And he said there are a couple of other issues that would cause a license to be pulled.
Non-payment of taxes, that would be taxes due to the state. We can suspend licenses for that reason. And then the other major category we see would be danger to the public. Thankfully, we did not have any suspensions for that reason this fiscal year.
Ackerson said they collected $157,000 in penalties for those who broke the rules while selling or serving alcohol. And those violations include things like selling to underage individuals or selling after hours. And the 2020 Iowa caucuses are 399 days away, but leaders of Iowa's two major political parties say it's already caucus season in Iowa. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
The next Iowa caucuses are scheduled for February 3rd of 2020. But a couple of dozen potential Democratic presidential candidates and two declared candidates have already made their way through Iowa. On the Republican side, Donald Trump has held three campaign-style rallies here since he was elected president in 2016. The priority for the party leaders who are hosting the 2020 caucuses, make sure the voting goes smoothly on both sides.
This is the one strong bipartisan part of the job that, quite frankly, I rather enjoy.
That's Iowa GOP Chairman Jeff Kaufman. He was the party's chairman during the 2016 Iowa caucuses. That's when Microsoft developed the reporting system for caucus results for both parties. Troy Price has been the Iowa Democratic Party's chairman since July of 2017. He was just reelected to another two-year term in the job.
So whatever system we end up doing, we always do a lot of testing around it, and we always have backups in case something doesn't work.
The Iowa caucuses are party events, so the two parties have to raise money privately for all expenses. I'm O.K. Henderson.
In the funeral announcements, 93-year-old Joe Reisberg of Griswold and formerly of the Atlantic, Adair, and Carroll areas died Friday at the Griswold Care Center. A massive Christian burial for Joe Reisberg will be today at 10 o'clock at Our Lady of Grace Catholic Church in Griswold. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. Lucy Ann Knaus, age 65 of Portsmouth, died Thursday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A massive Christian burial for Lucy Ann Knaus will be this Thursday at 11 a.m. at St. Mary Our Lady of Fatima Church in Portsmouth. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Michael Mick Thompson, age 73, of Exira, died December 26th in Maywood, Illinois. A celebration of life memorial service for Mick Thompson will be held Friday at 10 a.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Edna Reiner Witzman, age 68, of Eldon, Missouri, and formerly of Atlantic, died December 19th in Missouri. Memorial services for Edna Witzman will be Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Frederick Olson, age 79, of Harlan, died December 26th at his home. A massive Christian burial for Frederick Olson will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Janet Rutledge, age 79, of Ankeny and formerly of the Messina area, died December 19th. Celebration of life services for Janet Rutledge will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. And Cecilia Madonna Susanna Moeller, age 90, of Griswold, died December 18th. Memorial services for Cecilia Moeller will be held Saturday at 1 o'clock at the Plymouth Presbyterian Church in Lamar's. Reekin Dune Funeral Home of Oakland has the arrangements. The news was brought to you by Rex Pharmacy in Atlantic. The prices you need, the service you deserve. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.